I'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. I'll read from the screen. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Derek. Good morning, everybody. God continues to bless us with more and more visitors. How wonderful to see you here today. And what a special visitor, a new Christian. Let God be praised. His patience remains. The scriptures tell us that Jesus, it behooved him to become as one of his brethren, to become human, even though he was God, John 1:1, so that he could be a compassionate Savior. Therefore, when he makes intercession for us, he can explain to God the Father what this flesh body is and how weak it really is. He suffered many things for each and every one of us. And he did this because God says, you need to be a compassionate Savior. And the same thing is being formed in each and every one of us here. The trials, the struggles, so that we can be compassionate Christians to not only those of the faith and those outside the walls. Compassion was Jesus' life. But he also knew that there was something that did not mix nor mingle with compassion, and that was compromise. Compromising is sin. Compassion is God's glory and grace. And sometimes we can be confused. The Bible, from first to last... That was quick. The Bible, from first to last, deals with the struggle between conflicting concepts. The battle lines are drawn between the following points: right and wrong, truth and error, darkness and light, heaven and hell, God and Satan. In the arena of carnality versus spirituality, the tremendous contrast makes it clear that it will not be easy to maintain integrity and honor before the eyes of our Creator. It will be a struggle. Satan has a much larger following than the Lord does. You see, it takes valor and it takes courage and character to follow Jesus. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, the devices of Satan, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, you see, they're very clever and they're very cunning and most attractive to worldly people. To be a sincere disciple of Christ, it takes fortitude in the midst of very glamorous sinfulness that our world seems to exalt. Truth never dies, brethren. Amos ran into a foe of heaven in the high priest that was mentioned in Amos chapter 7. Here we are, a high priest, Amaziah. Should have been the friend of God. Yet he told Amos to leave. Leave here, prophet of God. The people cannot bear your teaching. So even a leader of God can be an instrument of the devil. According to Ezekiel 34 and Acts 20, 28 through 32, elders over a house of God can be some of God's greatest contributors to Satan's purpose. This is not a sermon to pick on elders. Let's not leave out worldly brethren and preachers. Especially preachers who only preach those pleasant things. This Joel Osteen, who has this mega church and a billionaire, has yet once to reference sin or a sin problem to any of his congregation. And yet he has the greatest following in this country. How sad is it to contemplate that those who should assist the Savior actually, at least at some times, oppose his precious work. Preachers who refuse to boldly preach the word, Acts 14, 1 through 3, and do not speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and 11, do not serve the Lord. Such men who should speak for Christ, but yet they are afraid of rebuke, and they are also afraid to rebuke error. You see, they serve the devil while pretending to be soldiers of Christ. When the final day of judgment peals forth, their compromising spirit will be exposed. Truth never dies, but to those who refuse to embrace and promote the truth, it certainly will. Let us continue to be a church who ever strives to faithfully serve Him in truth. John 14 and 6. Brethren, the victory is ours in Christ. Let us never allow any room in our lives for the enemy of righteousness to launch his evil deeds. The Scriptures declare, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Rather, let us always resist the devil, and he will flee from you." James 4 and 7. Not only that, it will also cause his friends, the demons, to tremble. James 2 and 19. That power within you, Satan cannot touch and is afraid of. The fight is on, O Christian soldiers, and face to face in stern array, his banner streaming, the armor gleaming, the right and wrong engaged today, as the poet wrote. Satan and his servants need to be constantly aware of the fact that they are not on the winning team. The battle is pitched, and we are ready. The Apostle Paul encourages, being confident at this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until that day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1 and 6. Another great passage of genuine hope is 2 Corinthians 2 and 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and makes manifest through the savor of his knowledge in every place. Satan cannot win. His final defeat is certain. He has already been judged. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent. He that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of their life, even unto death. Those who overcame Satan are the Christians who washed themselves in the blood of Christ, which is symbolic. Where we contact that blood is in baptism. The victory is yours. Satan may appear to be an awesome foe, and yet he is. But we have the Word of God, and we have the blood of Jesus to thwart any diabolical schemes that he has to step against us. The Bible tells us, finally, that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, not our own. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Withal, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. When we use this Christian armor properly, the devil can never win. We have the ability to resist Satan, James 4 and 7. We are able to fight the good fight of faith, and we can lay a hold of eternal life, 1 Timothy 6 and 12. A powerful hymn offers a challenge to be strong and valiant in battle. Hear what this person has to say. Under the standard, exalted and royal, strong in thy strength, we will battle for thee. Over our will and affections victorious, freely surrendered, and wholly thine own. Yes, in Christ, we surrender, and he wins. That's how victory is gained in Christ. It starts with surrender. God does not tell us to take up arms and to march onward. He tells us to stand fast. Stand fast. Be steadfast in your faith. Not to attack, but to resist. Sadly, in this world, many believe that we can serve any way we choose to love and worship our God. Yet the scripture is very clear, John 4 and 24, God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit with their whole heart, wholeheartedly. And in truth, what is truth? Psalm 119, verse 160, the entirety of your word is truth. John 17, 17, thy word is truth. So if we're worshiping according to God's word, we can never go wrong, and the victory is ours. When Christ came upon the great temptation of the devil, every time Satan came upon him, how did Jesus fight against the devil? He repeated scripture. The Bible instructs us as to the nature of acceptable service and genuine loyalty. Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say?"
Amen.
Luke 6 and 46. As Mary told the servants at the wedding feast, his mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith, you do it." If we would be servants of Jesus, we must obey from the heart, Romans 6 and 17, that he tells us we must do. The burning questions of Romans 4:3 is clear indeed. What says the scripture? So how should we serve the Lord in this life? If thus says the Lord God is not does not precede it, it cannot be 100% truth. When Jesus, confronting the Pharisees and confronting the people of the world, he always referenced Scripture. Have you not read that it is written? Have you not read? Do you not know that this Scripture says? His whole ministry was based upon revealing the truth to people in this world. We are supposed to serve the Lord, brethren. We are to serve gladly. You know, it is a joy and is not a burden. It is a privilege that a worthless sinner like me gets to stand before you and proclaim God's glory. We are to worship Him loyally. Being true to God is the ultimate sign of your dedication. We are to serve Him eternally. Mark 10:30 ties this life to the world beyond in serving the Savior. We are to worship Him prayerfully. Revelation 8:4 through 5 lets us know that heaven hears our petitions and our gratitude. We must do it scripturally. We must serve in harmony with truth and obedience. Since judgment is individual, so our service also is to God. Each of us individually answers to God. None of us answers for no one else. No one likes to hear that, do they? But you forget, brethren, as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, if you are in Christ Jesus, did you forget the counselor who's going to be standing next to you, who is going to be proclaiming that this is mine? Did you forget that? Your counselor was going to be standing right next to you in that judgment. That counselor is Jesus. Your lawyer, if you want to put it in a legal term. And we are to worship Him gratefully. And all we do, say, and think, we should be a guide for thankfulness in each and everything we do. True service is based on real trust in God. Throughout the Scriptures, we can find noble principles that guide our lives successfully. These eternal truths bolster and encourage our decisions and destiny. Such powerful points strengthen our resolve and should enlighten our days as pilgrims on our way through a foreign territory on our way back to our heavenly home. When we learn to put the ultimate trust in the one and not this one, the one who made all things in our lives, that path leads to glory. It may never seem paradoxical, but it is nevertheless worth the struggle, and it is worth the heartache. A man once wrote, "I asked for health that I might achieve, but yet I was made weak that I might do better things for the glory of God." Paul prayed to the Lord about this thorn in the flesh and was told that "my grace is sufficient for thee. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Wherefore I take pleasure in weakness, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When you have nothing to give, who's doing the work? It is God doing the work through you. So where's bragging and where's boasting? There is no, "look what I did." It's, "look what the Lord is doing through each and every one of us." It has been well stated, courage is fear that has said its prayers. The steadfast loyalty we receive this necessary peace from God to see us through the darkest hour and on our loneliest day. You ever had a really lonely day? Read Psalm 91. It'll put a little bounce in your step. God's assurance to His providence is evident to His children. One of the foremost principles of the Bible is the providence of the Almighty. The psalmist makes it very clear. "They came upon me in the day of my calamity, but Jehovah was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me." Psalm 18. Daniel declared, "There is a God. There is a God in heaven." Fact. And that faith guided his life. God's promise is sure. "I will no wise fail thee, neither will I forsake thee." He gives us material blessings to have, and in Christ we also have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. God grants us comfort. He grants us protection. He grants us joy. And He gives us a loving and an abiding hope. God is our refuge, and He is our strength, a very present help in trouble. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Jehovah is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 46 and 1. God will guide us continually according to the Scriptures, Isaiah 58 and 11, and will supply all of our needs according to the riches of His grace. May we never overlook the demands and rewards of genuine Christianity that is found in a strange place, Deuteronomy 3:22. And 2 Chronicles 15:7. The church? The Old Testament? Absolutely. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God Himself fights for you. But you, be strong and do not fear. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. When you obey the command of 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, we become dead to sin and alive unto God. It says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking with whom he may devour, whom withstand steadfast in your faith. Though your weapons as Christians are not carnal, they are all mighty before God. That Holy Spirit that is inside you causes the demons of hell to tremble. Did you know that much power lied within you? James 2 and 19. Write that one down and read it. Christ entered the strong man's house and he spoiled his goods. The strong man was Satan. Christ overcame Satan and took away his authority. He no longer has the authority over sin and death. Christ took it from him. He spoiled his goods. Sin should never have dominion over us again. For we have died to sin, and now we live unto righteousness. Romans 6 and 11. As the Lord emphatically declares to each and every one of us, we overwhelmingly conquered through Him that loved us. Romans 8 and 37. And let us always remember Romans 10, verse 11. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you may have life's trials. You may have life's disappointments. But in the end, you will not be disappointed. You will be held victorious. You will be seen as righteous before the eyes of the Lord, and an eternity in heaven is yours due to faith in Christ Jesus. Let God be praised for His great gift. If you are here today and you have not had the chance or the opportunity to find out what the Lord has for you and what He requires of you to become a Christian, to start your life as new as a child of God, to be baptized, raised, and walked in the newness of life, have a whole entire perspective changed. The time is now, and the opportunity is yours. And as Christians, times come upon us where we struggle. I do, and I know you do too. If you need help in prayers in anything, we're here to serve you. There is no shame in saying you're weak. At all. This is where the healing begins. We love you all and thank you all, and may God give you great peace in the understanding of His providence over your lives. The victory is yours in Christ Jesus. Come now while we stand and while we sing.